night staff in Meseret Yoma is Daf Chof, and we're holding the hand of the Mishnah on Daf Yotet Amud Bet. So we're talking now, we've got to the nighttime already. We finished the Shvua that we made in May. We finished the Shivas Yomim, of course. And we're now in the beginning of the nighttime. And if the Kohen Gadol is getting to a little bit sleepy, so the youngsters of the Kohanim would snap their fingers in front of him. It's actually very interesting that Rashi keeps saying wherever we have the slush of Tzrada, as we'll see where it gets from the Gemara, the Pirkei Kohuna would snap their fingers to wake him up. Look, we're talking to you with a little bit of chutzpah, but, you know, our master, Kohen Gadol, it's time for you to get up a little bit. You know, come run around the block. Of course, the floor was ice cold, so that would be very helpful to wake him up. But we'll see in the Gemara that they were asking also more than that. And that's the achat has double meaning. Anyway, they would keep the Kohen Gadol busy until the time of the Shechitas HaTamid would get there. That time he could start working, so Mimela, they weren't worried about his falling asleep, and falling asleep, were worried about his being Raya Keri. So when you say Etzpat Sirada, what does Etzpat Sirada mean? Omer of Yuda, Tsarata Dida. It means the Tsara, that Tsara is always like the a rival wife. So this is the rival of this one. Well, thanks a lot. We don't have our video on, so which one is this one? That's the Gemara. So Mahi, the Gudal. Does it a Tsarada is the Tsara of the Gudal. So Rashi learns that that's referring to the finger, the index finger, which is right next to the thumb. But that's a little bit problematic because as Machve Ravuna actually showed what this would be like. And it was such a loud snap that also Kolab Kulibe Rav, you could hear it all across the Beis HaMedrash. Now, the problem is that when you snap your fingers, it's very difficult to produce a loud snap with the index finger. So Adarabba, many of the Rishonim argue on Rashi, and they learned that the Tsarada is the middle finger, because if you snap your finger, you're basically holding your middle finger between your thumb and your index finger, and the pressure gives a loud snap when it hits your palm, so that the sound is produced by the Tsarata Dada must mean, therefore, the Tsara of being the Tsara of the for the thumb, not of the thumb. So in other words, the thumb has got two competing wives, so to speak, when you're snapping your finger. So the Tsarata Dada would be the third finger, which is competing with the index finger for the attention of the thumb. So that would be the meaning of Tsarata Dada, according to others, which is a simple meaning. Okay, so the Mishnah said that what they said was, Ishi Kohen Gadol Fega Chat Al Haritzpa, which Bepashta simply meant to just go walk around barefoot on the cold floor, which would wake you up. And Rav Yitzchak said that they told him something else. They said, do us a little trick, will you? So chada achat is chada. Show us something. Show us a little bit of, your show off some kind of performance that you could do for us. What was that? Mayi. Amrilei achve kida. Show us if you could do kida. Kida was very, very difficult, and most people can't do it. So as a matter of fact, the Gemara talks about Levi, that Levi actually became lame because he was doing Kida and he hurt his back. So Kida means you bend over only from the spine at the waist and you kiss the floor with your mouth. That's very, very difficult. And you support yourself only with your thumbs while you're on the floor. And then you have to get up without bending your knees. Okay. So yeah, that should definitely wake him up if it doesn't land him in the hospital. And then we keep him busy until the time for the tamid has come. So when we say they keep him busy, what it meant was that we actually were busy with music. But lo yu ma'asikim oto lo b'neva v'chinor ela b'peh. That even though we could have, like, you know, gotten a really nice beat to keep him up, but what they did was is they sang and they would beat with their snapping. So the snapping that we talked about before went together with the ma'asikim oto. So what would they sing? They sang, Im Hashem lo yivna bayit, shavam lo bonav bo. So they sang, we talked about this on Erev Shabbos, that if they're trying to tell him that everything that you do is not just a question of doing, it's a question of how you're thinking about it and feeling it. And if Hashem is not with you, it's a waste of time because nothing is going to be successful. You won't achieve anything. Mikirei Yerushalayim, actually, this is amazing because the Mefarshim explained that the rest of this mizmor is actually a reference to sleeping. Kein yitein lididi shena. And it's amazing that they understand that Im Hashem lo yivne bayit, kein yitein lididi actually has to do with this night. So yididi shena, they understand is miyad midadde shena, those that are being minade shena me'enehem. And incredibly, Hashem lo yivne here is understood that you need a special siyata d'shmaya for the Kohen Gadol not to be roe keri on this night, which sounds unbelievable. But when we include that in the nisim that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, that the Kohen Gadol never saw carry on Yom Kippur, despite the fact that he never slept, it becomes even more unbelievable. This is one of the nisim that we're talking about over the course of all of these centuries. So the issues that we understand here are obviously not as simple as they look. I mean, we're not really concerned for a standard type of wet dream. It's some kind of connection over here, specifically to the Aveda that the Kohen Gadol is doing, that is deicha, the nature of carry, and because of that, is exceedingly cutting edge on some level. So all of this was the Kirei Yerushalayim also would stay up all night. And lo yishenim kol ha'layla, kedei sheyishma kohen gadol kol avara, velo tehei sheinacho tafto. So the Kohen Gadol would hear them making sounds all night, and it sounded like the whole city was like, wow, wide awake, so he wouldn't get tired, and sleep wouldn't suddenly overcome him. Tanya, Abba Sha'ul Omer, Af Pekvulina Yuasim Ken. This wasn't only in Yerushalayim. They used to do this over here, also in Bavel. And they did this as a Zecher L'Migdash. The thing is that when they did it here, they ended up being Chayte. So the girls would get there. It would be like sort of a Simchas Torah, you know. So everybody's there, L'Shem Shemayim. And by the end of the night, everybody's in everybody else's bed. And that was a disaster. So it was not such a good idea, especially for Yom Kippur. So Omar Abaye, Vitem Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, I know where this is. This is talking about Narda, because Omar Eliyahu Rav Yehuda, Achuder of Salah Chasida, Eliyahu Hanavi said to Rav Yehuda that, you know, you guys are always saying, Amrito Amailo Ati Mashiach, how come Mashiach doesn't come? Especially, I mean, Yom Kippur is supposed to be a kapora for all of Klal Yisrael. So today is the day that Mashiach should come. Now we have a Yisrael that is clear of sin. So we should be able to have Mashiach. So I got news for you. Today is Yom Kippur. You want me to count out for you all of the virgins who lost their virginity tonight in Narda? Now you understand why Mashiach doesn't come? Omar Leiser of Yudah says to Leo, oh my God, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say about that? Well, he didn't take my side. He said, Lepetach atas roveitz, what can you do? These poor guys, they don't know how to deal with the Yetzer Hara. So what do you expect from them? So we asked him, okay, I guess that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. What did the Sutton have to say? Nah, Sutton b'yomid kippur less leivish shusur liyistune. Sutton doesn't get any rights to open his mouth on Yom Kippur at all. So he had nothing to say about the issue. Mimai, how do we know that? Omer Rami Bar Choma, I can tell you a remez. HaSatan b'gematria is 364. Which teaches you that 364 days out of the year, the Satan has reshus to be mastin. But b'yom de kippure, let le reshut alistune. On Yom Kippur, the 365th day, the Satan has no reshus to say anything. Now we've got to up to the first Aveda of the Yom. So now the Kohen Gadol made it through at least some of the night. We'll see that it's still quite early. And it's time now for the Trumas Hadesha. As a big machlokas Rishonim here, whether the Trumas Hadesha, we mentioned this earlier as well, we were talking about what possible need would there be for Kohen Hedyot to be wearing his big dekuna. Remember we said that that's the question of the big day Kohen Hedyot, the same on Yom Kippur as on any other day. And Tosfos asked over, well, what would be the point of wearing begadim for Kohen Hedyot? So there we found our first taste of the machlokas as to whether when we say that kol avodot Yom HaKippurim inan ksherim elabo, I forgot to turn on that. So when we say kol avodot Yom HaKippurim are only kosher with the Kohen Gadol, do we mean all of the Aveda that is miyuchad for Yom Kippur, but that a Kohen Hedyot can do the Aveda of Kol Yom? Or do we mean all of the Aveda, literally, even including the Trumas Hadesha, as Rashi understands it? So there would be two different ways of understanding the Mishnah, as we'll see. So b'chol yom tormim et ha-mizbeach, the trumas hadeshen. It's the first thing that we would do in the day.
Rebbe, yeah? The first thing that we do with the Mishnah, our trumas hadeshen, is Richie.
Oh my gosh. Here's our own, our very own Kriyas HaGever, and I forgot to call on the Gever. That's scary. Sorry, Rich. It's been a long Shabbos. Go for it. Oh, he's stuck again with not knowing. He can't get rid of his mute. What is with you, man?
For everyone doesn't see it, watch Richie struggling. It's hilarious.
Okay, Rich. Just shut. Okay. We got it.
Maybe place cards.
Don't know what to do.
Okay. You can undo everyone mute.
We heard you. We heard you, Rich. We heard you. You be'inecha ki'ilu shamanu. Boy, this is not the right Mishnah to lose your unmute. Let me tell you, this is the Mishnah that talks about how far away we can hear a guy. Okay. Bechoyom tormim et ha-mizbeach b'kriyat ha-gever ha-samuchlos. Remember, we have the pasuk that tells us about Yahola Mogda Kol Halayla VeEsh HaMizbeach Tukadba, and then that's Kol Halayla, and then after that we have the pasuk of the Kohen going and the Lavash after Olal Mogda Lavash Kohen Mido Bad Mechnesei Bad Yubash Soro VeHirim Et Hadershen, and so on. So that means after the Emurim are burnt Kol Halayla, the next thing that we get to is the Trumas Hadeshen. The question is, when would that be? So usually we do it at the Kriyat HaGever Osamuchlo, around the time of Richie's announcement, not like tonight's Richie's announcement. But this was the man, the Gever. So this was the possibly, or it could mean, of course, the Tarnagol, which is another way that we use the word Gever. So that's a machlokas, as we'll see. But b'Yom HaKippurim, it was done at Chatzos, not all the way at the time of Kriyat HaGever, which we'll talk about it as later. So again, who did it? According to Rashi, the Kohen Gadol did it. According to others, including the Rambam, a normal Kohen could do it, and we would have a pious for the Trumas Hadeshen, even a Yom HaKippurim. B'Regalim, when it was a time of a yontiv, over there we had to do it really early. Mi'ashmorat arishona, after the end of the first ashmorat, the first third of the night. Because there were so many korbonas that needed to be taken care of on the regalim, lo hayta kriyat hagever maga'at ad shayta azara mele'a mi'Yisrael. So everyone had come with their korbonas and were waiting for the tamid to be brought. So because of that, we wanted to start as early as possible so that we were ready to go instantly as soon as the time arrived for the tummy. Now, Tananasam in Zvachim, we learned like this. Now, gentlemen, there's a big question over here about whether this is the correct Girsa. Rashi understands the Gemara like this, that this is what we're talking about, exactly as it says it over here. Tosfos has a different Girsa, in which the opening words are not Tananasam, which this is Rashi's tikkun of the Girsa, but rather, Aheicha Kaimina. What are we talking about in the Mishnah when we mention the issues on the Mizbeach? And I'll explain as we go along what the question would be between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi understands that the issue over here is we want to know another issue, not that has to do directly with our Mishnah. The reason that we bring it up here is because in the end, we're going to see that the balance between these two psukim, that on the one hand, the Esha Mizbeach Tukad Bo, Kol HaLaila Ad HaBoker, with the next words being V'lavasha Kain Midobad, which is Mashbar Kol HaLaila, you could do the Midobad, also was very important for understanding another halacha that you may remember from Zvachim, which is the question of Chatzot Osa Ikul. Chatzot Osa Ikul means as following. Again, all of this consistent with Rashi's approach. If you have an Aver that was not as yet burned on the Mizbeach at all, so let's say the fire hadn't even started burning on it, you can burn that at any time, as long as it wasn't off of the Mizbeach, become Noser and so on. That could stay on the Mizbeach for 2 days, 3 days, it would never be Nifsal. And if it fell off of the Mizbeach, you would simply put it back on the Mizbeach because it was in the nighttime, because there was a mitzvah to make sure that it was burned on the Mizbeach. If it was something that had already been burned fully and popped off of the Mizbeach, you would never put it back onto the Mizbeach because it was already Nasis Mitzvasa. The question that we're dealing with over here is if you have an Aver that was Nimshalobo Ha'ur, the fire of the Mizbeach had already started burning it. So it basically was scorched on the outside, but there was still plenty to burn if we would be on the Mizbeach. It pops off of the Mizbeach. And there we learn out from the Pasuk that if it popped off before Chatzos, then you put it back on. And if it popped off after Chatzos, it has already a din of being Me'ukal. Me'ukal means digest, burn. Why? Because Chatzot Osa Ikul. As far as what that Ikul is also Machlokas in Zvachim between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns Chatzot Osa Ikul means that it already has a din of Deshen, by definition, even though it's not really Deshen. Tosfos learns it doesn't have a din of Deshen. You cannot use it for the Trumas HaDeshen. You have to make sure you don't scoop that up when you take your Trumas HaDeshen. But it is Mu'ukal in terms of there not being a chiyuv to bring it up to the Mizbeach anymore. Fine. So this is what we're talking about over here. Evarim shepak'u mi'agabei Mizbeach. Which Evarim? As I explained a moment ago, Evarim which were nimshal behem ha'ur, we're talking about. So if it was kodem chatzot yachzir, since it needs to be put back onto the Mizbeach, it's still called kodshei Hashem, and because of that, mo'alim behem. Obviously, as normal kodshei Hashem, the din of me'ila is still there. But li'achar chatzot, since I'm going to see that I learn out from the pasuk that chatzot osei ikul, there's no longer any chiyuv to put them up, which means that mitzad ha'din, it was already na'aseit mitzvatan. Now, whenever something is na'aseit mitzvatan, you'll remember the klal, let be me'ila. When something has already completed its mitzvah, then there's no me'ila on it, and it's no longer called kodshei Hashem. So our question is, what is the source of this din that chatzot is osei ikul? Omar Rav, it's this same pasuk, the sugya that we're talking about, you see. That's why I bring it here. Because the first pasuk said, Hi ola al mokda kol halayla. So that's talking about bring it up for haktara, right? So that means ad haboker. So all the way until the boker, it's supposed to be on the moked, which means it's continuing to burn. And yet the next words, which are a direct continuation of these, is it says, so he alau mogda ve'irim et adeshen. I mean, which way is it? Are they supposed to be on the Mizbeach kol halayla ad haboker? Or is it supposed to be Kol HaLaila Ve'erim, that once it's been on the Mizbeach, at that point, you can be Merim Nedeshen from it. Therefore, says Rav, my solution is HaKetzad Chalkehu. The Pasuk is telling me that essentially half of the night is the time for Haktorah, and half of the night is the time for Harama. And of course, the simple meaning is that if there was no Nimshlo Ha'or, so then the whole night is the time for Haktorah, obviously. If it was already Paka before and it's completely ash, then the whole night is the time for the ash. But the way that the Torah presents it as if there's two separate dinim in the same time would mean that where it's already Nimshal with the fire, at that point, it's Chatzos, Chetzi for A and Chetzi for B. Mosi Rav Kahana. So based on our Mishnah, Rav Kahana Tainas to Rav that that cannot be the pshat. Because it's true that this part of the pasuk is referring to the din of equal. I understand. But is it not also referring to the din of Trumas Hadeshan and to the halacha of when we would be Terem Es Hadeshan? And this is how Rashi is consistent with the Gemara. Tosfos understands Ahecha Kaima, that his girsa is, what are we talking about in the Mishnah? Are we talking about Trumas Hadeshan, or are we talking about poking? And understands that the Gemara is trying to explain that the Mishnah is going on the din of Chatzos Oseikol directly, not on the Trumas Hadeshan. Okay, but here is Rashi's girsa. It's very consistent and very nice. So Mosi Rav Kahana. Now, if you are right that the basis of the time of Trumas Hadeshan is a pasuk, how do we have a right to play around with the pasuk? I don't understand. If the pasuk is chetzi chetzi, so then, first of all, hechim akdemina. How could we be makdim before Chatzot to do it if the Torah says only from Chatzot is it suitable? And now Rashi doesn't have the Yerus Hechim Acharinon, but Tosfos does. Hechim Acharinon would mean that, look, normally you say we do Trumas Hadeshan in the morning. Isn't there a halacha of Zrizim makdimim lemitzvah? So if it was really kosher from Chatzot and the Torah had said to do it from Chatzot, then don't you think we ought to do it from Chatzot, if that's what the Pasuk is mentioning, according to you? Therefore, Elo Amar Rabbi Yochanan, therefore Rabbi Yochanan says, that is the wrong way to read the Pasuk, the way Rav read it. The correct way is this. This is the thing. It's not the contradiction between the Pasuk that's forcing us to say half and half. It's this extra word. Any idiot knows that if you say that something should be done all night long, it means till the morning. So then why does the pasuk say till the morning? Obviously, it's till the morning. So ma tamud lomar ad haboker. Ah, that's coming to tell me. Tein boker lebokro shalaila. Don't look at the normal morning, which is when the sun rises, but rather add an additional morning, meaning give a definition which is an end of the night, legabe, this halacha that is not true in a normal sense of morning. So let's create a new morning. So it makes sense that the new morning that we would be talking about is the only other time that has a specific moment for us, and that is Chatzot. So from there we learn that the Chatzot osa ikul. As far as if it wasn't actually still Nimshal yet by the Eish, so then of course it should still be Kol HaLaila. Now, as far as the Kol HaLaila is concerned, so that's still true. There's still a halacha that you can do whenever you want, use your brains, and do whenever you want the Truma. Because I only said the Kol HaLaila in terms of the Haktorah, and that came to teach me the halacha of poking. So therefore, basically, whenever it's appropriate is the correct time to do it. So Hilkach, therefore, the Chachomim said to do as follows. And that is enough time for us to do everything that we need to do. And we certainly don't want to rush it, because if we do rush it, we're going to have a problem of separating out things that are not yet burned from things that are ash. So we'd rather have a straightforward Trumas Hadashen where everything is up there and burned. Okay. If we have to worry about other issues, so then we're ready to take the trouble of doing that. And because of that, B'Yom HaKippurim, we're over there, Ika Chusha de Kohen Gadol. Now, not everyone is Gelres, Ika Chusha de Kohen Gadol. That's Rashi's Girsa. Because Rashi holds that all of the Avodah was done by the Kohen Gadol. So because of the fact that he's going to have a really rough day with all of the things he has to do, while he's still got some energy before it gets all hot and he's all tired out from fasting and so on, let him do whatever we can. So we want, therefore, to give him the opportunity to do it now. So Avdino Mechatzot. So that would be our earliest time. This way he'll be able to get a little bit of a rest still before he has to go straight through the day with Aveda. And Biregalim, where we've got so many Karbanos that are going to be brought, the Nefishe Yisrael and Nefishe Karbanot, so many people are coming with so many Karbanos of their Re'iyah. So Avdinan Me'ashmoret HaRishona, this we do from the first third of the night onwards. And that's like it said in the Mishnah, Kiriktani Taima. The last part of the Mishnah is basically the reason. Lo Haita Kriyata Gever Magat, it was full as could be. Now, when you say my Kriyat HaGever, you said the shot of Kriyat HaGever, what does that mean? So Rav says it means a person, the human. So there was somebody there. Remember, we learned about the amazing feats of Gvinei Cruz and how he could be heard from so far away. So it's referring to that individual who was responsible for waking everyone up, and he woke up the Yisrael Amam Adayim, he woke up the Kohanim for Avodah Sam, he woke up the Levim for their Shiram. That's what it's referring to. Rav Shila Amar, no, Gever means here the Tarnagola, when the rooster cries, which is earlier than when Gvinei Cruz said, and that's the bracha that we make, Asher Natan Lasach Vivina. So that is also interesting, a double meaning, because the sechvi, just like gever, means the human or the rooster, the sechvi means either the human understanding, meaning his intuition as to when it's morning, or it means also a rooster, which is fascinating because you'll recall that this has to do with the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the world and so on. So Rav, Ikla La'atre, the Rav Shila. So it turns out that Rav says it's a human, and Rav Shila says it's a tarnagol. Now, once Rav actually came to the yeshiva where Rav Shila was, and he didn't let on who he was. So nobody knows this guy comes in. Nobody knows who he is. And lo havi amor lamekam alayta Rav Shila. There was no one that was there that was capable of saying over the shir to the rabbim, which the amora would usually do. So the Rebbe would just use the Lashon of the Gemara, and the Amora would explain it. So when Rav saw that Rav Shila didn't have somebody there, so Rav pretended to be just like a guy in the yeshiva, and come Rav Alei. So Rav says, I can do it. So Rav starts being his Amora. Anyway, in the middle of this year, Rav Shila mentioned Kriyat HaGever. So Rav, when he translated that to the Tzibur, he translated it as my Kriyat HaGever Kara Gavra, which was his shita. It means when the man called up, waking everybody up. So Rabbi Shila whispered to him, no, that's not the right thing. You should say Kara Tarnagola. If you're going to translate it properly, tell them the rooster cries. So Rav says to him, you know, I tell you something. When you play a beautiful flute for people that have any taste, that is for chore, beautiful. That's a zemer. You try playing that same composition to idiots that have no taste, legardois, they're just weavers. What do they know? Garbage collectors. They say, no, that's no good. That's no good. Why don't you play us some rap instead? That's what this is like. I said this pshat that the Kriyas HaGever is referring to a person when Rabbi Chiya was giving a shir. You should be ashamed of yourself. Rabbi Chiya thought it was fine. He didn't tell me, you know, no, translate that Kara Tarnagola. And I said, my Kriyas HaGever Kara Gavra, velo amar li velo midi. But you, or basically compared to Rabbi Chiya, you are a Gardoi, and you tell me, no, that's no good. You should say Kara Tarnagola. So then Reb Shiel realized, oh my God, this ain't no guy in the yeshiva. He says, oh no, you must be Rav. It's Rav Shita that it's really, and he's the one that would be talking in front of Rabbi Chiya because he was the Amor of Rabbi Chiya. So please sit down. Oh, I'm so sorry that you should be my Amora. It's terrible. So Rav said to him, you know what people say is, once you hired yourself out for a job, do whatever you got to do, even if it's just garbage. So Putz Amre, go ahead and comb the wool for him, which is a very low-class job. Usually you would give it to like anybody, the kids, the women. And once I'm up here, I'm staying up here. Ikene Amre, I'll just say what Rav said to Rav Shila was, and who's going to take my place? Because, I mean, you can't do that to the drosha. The drosha is Kedesh, right? And Malin B'Kedesh V'lo Morinin. So if Rav did the first part of the drasha, who are we going to put in place of Rav? So I'm going to have to stay here till the end, right? Okay. In fact, we have a braita, both Kavasi de Rav and Kavasi de Rabbi Shila. So Tanya Kavasi de Rav, that it means Kriyat HaGever. And that's the braita that talks about Gvini Cruz. And that was the first person, remember, back in Shkolim, or the Gadol of the Doros, there was a Machlokes, who had this position, and we called the position after him. So Gvini Cruz, what would he say every morning? Imdu Kohanim Lavodatchem Levim Leduchanchem V'Yisrael L'Mahamatchem. You could hear him from three parsot away. And once it happened that Agrippas HaMelech was coming on the road, and he heard Gvini's voice from three parsot away, and it's at 12 kilometers. U'kishe Bala Beito Shiger Lo Matanot. He was so impressed that he sent him like a beautiful gifts. Because of the way that he do it. You should know, you think that's something. Kohen Gadol Mishubach Mimeno. Kohen Gadol is even better than that, because we learned in the Braita that it once happened that the Kohen Gadol was saying the Vidui Yom HaKippurim, and he said, Ana Hashem, and in Yericho they heard him singing Ana Hashem. So that was like, was undoubtedly a nes that was special for a zman where we were zeichet to such nisim, as the Rishonim explained. V'yomar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you think three parsot is something, from Yerushalayim to Yericho is 10 parsot. So it means it went much further than Gvini. And that's taken more into consideration, because Gvini, remember, was in the nighttime still, where you can hear things much clearer. It was not on a tinus. It was not where he had been working all day. So even though the Kohen Gadol was really shvach because he was fasting and had been up all night, in the case of Gvini, there was no such problem. Furthermore, over here, the Kohen Gadol is in the middle of the day when he says, Ana Hashem, and at night you hear much better. And Gvini, it was still the nighttime. Because Rabbi Levi says, how come in kolo shel adam nishma bayom, kiderech shenishma balayla? Why is it indeed that no matter how quiet it is, there's something different about sounds at night where everything just sounds totally quiet. You can hear like the slightest sound, a pin drop, and somehow in the middle of the day, you never hear anything unless it's loud. That's because of the Galgal Chama. Shemenaser berekehia, kechara shemenaser barazim. What, you think the sun sawing through the heavens doesn't make noise? Didn't you see all of the dust particles that are coming down when there's a shaft of light? That's the sawdust that's coming. And that noise blocks everything out. And that chirga, the yuma, is called nothing, because it is nothing. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was referring to when he said, the chol dayarei ara kela chashivin. All those who live on the earth are like la. Now, we don't mean our la, that's with a U. They're like nothing. Our La is not nothing. He's the greatest. But they're all like La Chashivin. And because of that, the remez to the idea of there being interference because of the very fact that it's yom is why it is that you can't hear anything. As it says in the Braita, if it wouldn't be for that noise, then nishma kol hamonah shel romi, you could hear the sounds of Rome throughout the world. And if it wouldn't be for the sounds of Rome, you'd be able to hear the kol galgal chama. But the sounds of civilization get in the way of the sounds of the universe, and the sounds of the universe block out, thank heaven, some of the sounds of civilization. Tana Rabbanan, there's three things. We're obviously not, as we'll see in the next sugya, we're not talking about actual sounds here. Sholosh karlai solchi misofo olam ve'ad sofo. There's three things that goes from one end of the world to the other. One of them is the kol galgal chama. One of them is kol hamonah shel romi. One of them is kol nishama b'sha'a sheyotza min haguf, which obviously nobody hears. Ve'yesh omrim, some say af leida, that birth also is a sound that goes from one end of the world to the other. Ve'yesh omrim af ridya. This was the old, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not. Radio was predicted way before it goes from one end of the world to the other. But the ridya actually is a reference to the malach that is in charge of the gishamim. And it's called ridya because he's always, the marshal is an egel. And that egel is always eating the grass. So the And he's a ridya because he plows, because there usually is for plowing. So we call it that. And the Rabbonin were mevakish rachamim on the neshama b'sha'ashi yotza min haguf, that there should be something that is mevatel that terrible shock of death. And they were mevatel that sound. But there's also a braisa like Rabbi Shila that it's a reference to a tarnagol. Because it says, Hayotzi l'derech kodem kriyata gever domo b'rosho. Somebody who goes out and chas v'shalom, he's attacked by mazikim and something happens to him on the road because he left too early in the morning. He left while it was still dark. He's responsible for his own death. Rabbi Yoshia Omer, that's not even enough to wait for the kol hagever. You have to wait until the gever is twice, and some say even three times. And what gever are we talking about? And what do we call the gever? Be'ezet tarnagol amru. Oh. So obviously the gever is a tarnagol, according to this braitza, which is exactly what Rav Shila said. And what we're talking about, there are tarnagolim that they keep you up all night, basically. And there's other tarnagolim, you can barely get them to respond to the dawn. So we're talking about a tarnagol benoni. So it's sort of the median tarnagol over here. And therefore, we're saying maybe once is enough, maybe twice, one, maybe three times. But in any event, we definitely are referring to a gever who is not Gvini Cruz, but who is a tarnagol, which is exactly like Rav Shila.
I just want to add that I was zeicha to guard Yericho on behalf of the Klal Yisrael and the Israeli army. And sometimes I was in a position where I could see the three towers of Harazesim, and I knew exactly where to face. I was in the Yericho area, looking straight at Harazesim, one hill for Harabais, and they felt these issues.
Okay, it's good to know that Yericho is Barnea's neighborhood. Whew, we were feeling really out of touch. This is excellent. Okay, Shavua Tov, thank you. Go to everyone.